Hey, if you're involved in ministry in any level, you're going to like today's episode, I think. Today we start a series called Coffee with a Pastor, Inspiring Conversations on Ministry, and it all happens next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
Welcome, folks, to another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast. My name is Phil Thompson.
And I'm Steve Lacy.
And Steve, this is episode number 433. And it is brought to you by, the Church Solutions Podcast is brought to you by DailyDive365.com. Preach once, inspire daily. If you haven't checked out DailyDive365.com, check it out. It's our sponsor. It's us. And we think it's pretty cool. So you can check it out and see what's happening. We also have a webinar coming up. If you've been listening to our podcast for a while, you will know that we do webinars and doing it now every month. And we've got one coming up June 18th. It's a webinar. What's the title of the webinar, Steve Lacy?
This is a test, right? It has to do with how to... Mike came up with a great one. It's podcast, how to come up with a podcast. What was it? I don't remember.
The easy button.
The easy button for church podcasts.
The easy button for church podcasts. So that's June 18th. It's a webinar, and it's going to be, again, about a half hour long. And we'll take some Q&A. And it really, the best thing to tell you is just go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv. That's the domain. You can sign up, reserve your seat. And there's information about the webinar, too.
Including the title, which I knew what it was going to be about, but I just... Yeah.
If you're new to a podcast, we do webinars, and we generally have the longest title possible. And we can't remember it then unless we're looking right at it, because it's the longest title in the world. But the easy button is for churches that want to do podcasts. All right, never mind. So today's guest, we're starting a new series here. And it's a series that we're going to do. We're probably not going to do it every week, but we talk about a lot of different things with this podcast, a lot of tech stuff, ministry-related stuff, because we're all involved in ministry. And we're doing a new series called Coffee with a Pastor, Inspiring Conversations on Ministry. And so we've got a guest today, which I'm going to introduce here in a second. And I just want to say this, if you're a pastor and you'd like us to interview you, just reach out to us. You can go to streamingchurch.tv and just chat with us or leave a message there. And we'd love to interview you if you're a pastor. Because we think it's going to be very inspirational to people, encouraging. I was in ministry for a long time, and sometimes it can be a lonely place. And so hearing from some other pastors is a good thing. So we're going to continue to do this throughout the year until they're sick of us or something, or pastors don't want to talk to us, which I wouldn't blame them. But, so we're going to go on with this in a little while, but we'll also have other things going on as we do podcasts as well. So it won't be probably every week with a pastor, but it will be very similar to that. So with that in mind, today's guest comes from the beautiful state of West Virginia. And I know a little bit about that because my family is from West Virginia, even though I grew up in Ohio. And it's a great state, and we're glad to have him here. He is the pastor of Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Would you please welcome to the Church Solutions Podcast, Pastor Jerry Fiskus. Jerry, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Great to be with you guys today.
All right. Well, we're glad to have you here. And let me just say, I forgot to ask you, even though I've talked to you several times before this, Fiskus is the way to pronounce your last name?
It is correct, Fiskus.
All right, let me write that down. I got it right for a change. So, Jerry, we're glad you're here. Thanks for being with us today. We really do appreciate it and putting up with our shenanigans. So I'll start off with the first question, and I'm sure Steve will jump in here in a moment. So let's just start with the beginning.
All right.
Share about your background and how you were called into ministry.
All right. Well, my family had several locations that we lived growing up. And finally, around age 16, we moved out to Southern California. And it was my plan at that time to go into flying airplanes. I had always wanted to do that. And so I wanted to go into the US Air Force and fly airplanes. Well, as it turned out, I talked to a recruiter and they said, never going to happen because my eyesight wasn't good enough to do that. So I said, well, forget that. And I started really looking for a place for me to go. And the Lord spoke to me one evening on a at a Bible study and had called me to ministry. And so from that time forward, I went to Bible school down in La Mesa, California, and ended up being in the evangelistic field for many years. And during that stint, also, I like to so I sometimes slip when I'm talking to our church and say, you know, I was in prison for 6 years. But at that point, I was ministering in the Oregon State Correctional Institute. I had moved to Oregon, and I spent about 6 years doing that. And then, long story short, ended up back in 1992. I was talking to the Lord one morning, and he told me, "You'd like me to move to West Virginia." And I only had one friend here at that point, and I called him and I said, "Hey, Brother Rick," I said, "the Lord spoke to me this morning to move there to West Virginia." And there was silence on the other end of the line, and he said, next thing I heard is, "Why? There's nothing here." And so I said, "Only thing I know is that God has called me here." And so I came, and that very first year that I was here, we had like the snowstorm of the century. It was 5 foot of snow here, and I woke up that morning saying, "Why did I move here?" And but God eventually showed me His plan, and that was that I was the pastor, a startup of church here, and we're a non-denominational fellowship started up here. We've actually been here now for about 19 years, going on 20 years. And God has blessed our ministry, and I love it. You know, and when I was on the evangelistic field, I always said, you know, God never called me to be a pastor. And I think it's because I didn't want to have to deal with the daily things that came as being a shepherd. But you know what? As God opened up this opportunity for me to start this church, He's given me that pastor's heart and that shepherd's heart. And, you know, again, I've seen God do so many things here. And so I'm glad I was faithful and came to West Virginia.
Yeah, so you say, you know, God called you, and I'm sure a lot of pastors. Tell me more about that. I mean, how sure were you? Did you have doubts? Was it? Tell us about the calling.
All right. Well, in particular, I'll go back to a church service that I was attending. And the pastor, at the end of the service, he kept saying, you know, there's someone here that God is calling, someone here that God's wanting to put you into His service. And you know, I sat there, and as the service ending altar call went on, he kept saying that. And I kept saying, well, I wish somebody would go up because, you know, I'm tired of waiting here, you know. And he just prolonged that. And finally, it felt like eternity to me, but finally I realized, and the Holy Spirit started really dealing with me, that it was me. And so I went up and he said, "Can I pray with you?" And as he began to pray with me, the Holy Spirit really began to deal with me. And I knew right then at that point that God was calling me into the ministry. And you know, when there's a call of God, it's not something that you miss. I believe that with all of my heart. You know that. You know it from the bottom of your heart, and I knew that it was God that was calling me. Hopefully
Wow.
that answers that.
Yeah. And then you had the calling for West Virginia as well, right?
Yeah,
You
same
feel the
kind
same way
of
about
thing.
that, or?
Oh, you know what? It was so plain and clear, and I didn't know anybody here in West Virginia. Not a clue, but except for the one friend. But as far as ministry opportunities and whatever, but I just knew that it was God that had placed that upon my heart. And even when I got here, anytime you have a call, listen, you need to expect adversity as well. And that's the thing that I always have preached since then, because a lot of times you get a call, you start in and you head towards that call, and all of a sudden adversity hits you on every corner. And then you're wondering, did God really call me to do this? But one of the verses that is particularly important to me is in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to believe to come to God, for he that believeth must believe and acknowledge that he is God. And listen, and be faithful towards the calling. So I say this, if you feel God's called you and you heard that, go for it, expect the adversity, push through it, and then you're going to see at the end what God's going to do.
This reminds me, if I'm going to tell a story on Phil here. I don't know if you remember this or not, but we were praying at Alive up front at Delft Spring over us, and he's sending out missionaries, and he's praying over your wife and wanting to, she's, I guess, was something like going to Africa or something like that. And she responded, "Will there be hair dryers in Africa?" That was her main concern.
I do
I
remember
was
that.
cracking. You do remember
Yeah, I
that?
do remember that. She went to Honduras, I think, is where she ended up going.
Yeah, because they were praying over people going. Yeah, I just thought it was. I remember this to this day.
Yeah,
This day.
she went to Honduras, and they did have some electricity. They were way out there. I mean, they had to take a boat to get to an island, and they did have some kind of a generator, and they did have like batteries or something. And she brought her hair dryer, and when she plugged it in, she popped the fuse to the whole place.
Sure. Yeah.
So there you have it. So they have a, yeah. So she brought her hair dryer, but that ended badly. All right. So it's funny because Jerry and I, when we initially talked a while back, because he was interested in streamingchurch.tv, we found we had a lot in common. I mean,
Yeah.
We knew some stuff in Southern California where I had not lived but visited. In fact, by the way, you said somebody called you a pastor. I'm taking it was in SoCal, right, where you
Yeah.
felt the calling. My fiance at the time, we were in Jack Hayford's church, and we felt like God had called us to be in California, and we waited and waited and waited for a word from God, and it never came.
Wow.
As I moved to Arizona. But anyhow. All right. So this is about Jerry, not about us,
Yes.
but what's the challenges? So you mentioned challenge. Anytime you go somewhere, you get a call, you're gonna get adversity challenge. What's a recent challenge to your ministry, and how do you address that stuff?
Well, if I can, I want to divert back to 19 years ago when we started Living Water Church. I had heard from God, came down to the property that we're at now, and just really heard from the Lord that this was the place that we were to build our church. And so there was a little pole building here. And so we ended up turning that pole building into just a little church area that had two rooms, two bathrooms, and a sanctuary. And so we began meeting in the church at that time. And there were all kinds of complications that I was not aware of that had to do with legalities and so forth. And so an individual came to me. Actually, during a prayer meeting on Wednesday night, And he said, "Listen, this church cannot be here. It can't be here. I'm going to make sure that this gets shut down and end of story." And I went to the Lord with this, and I said, "Now, Lord, here's an adversity." Okay. And he was threatening legal things against the church and so forth. But I can tell you this, that we as a church stood fast and we believed what God had said. And you know what? It ended up about this was a battle that went on for over a year. And he kept threatening court and lawsuits and everything. And at the end of that time period, he literally came to me. He put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm dropping everything. You build this church." And he actually helped us from that moment on to build what we needed to build and have the thing. So I can tell you, that's an adversity that many people would say, "Well, that's God just telling you to leave." Not necessarily. So adversity is a good thing, and especially when you've heard from God on that. So, of course, recently here within the past few years, the whole COVID thing that took place. And I know that I'm not the only pastor that's dealt with this, but we had a lot of people that didn't come back after COVID. And for one reason or excuses or whatever. But so again, though, when God calls you to a place, you stay steadfast in that. And after that, God's beginning to rebuild our church and bringing new families to us. So you have to stay the course. And that's what, mostly anything that I've heard from God is stay the course, be faithful.
So it takes a lot of discernment. It sounds like you've got some maturity in that arena, in that you mentioned, maybe God's telling me to go here and not fight this thing, or maybe, what advice would you have for other pastors on gaining the proper discernment where he wants you to go?
Well, I think number one, if you initially felt the call of God, in other words, you were sure about that, that's the thing that you hold on to. Because we had, going back 19 years ago, we had folks that were coming to me that were in the church that were saying, just hang it up. Let's just get out of this. Let's just, move on. And folks are well, they have good intentions because they don't want to deal with issues. But I knew what the Lord had spoken and put on my heart. So hold on to that first and foremost, because as those things come and people begin to say, "Well, you should try this, or maybe you should do this or do that," I'm going to say this, and again, I'm not the only pastor that's dealt with this, but you get done with a sermon or whatever, and people are going through the doors, and I've had people say, "Well, that was good, but what you should have talked about was this, or you should have talked about that." I just smile, but I know that I bring what the Lord has placed on my heart. So as far as maturity, you learn that over time. To stand fast in what God has told you and or what you believe. So I just actually a few weeks ago brought a sermon, Stand for Your Faith. And in this world today, man, that's important, to stand for your faith and what you believe and what God says.
So, hopefully I'm not deviating from the script too much here, but what's been one of the most rewarding experiences in your ministry?
I think for me, the most rewarding thing, not one thing in particular, but one of the things that I enjoy doing most is mentoring. I love to do that with young people that come into the church. And I think of one in particular as a young man. One of the things that we do here at the church is the Lord put upon my heart to have a ministry training center as well. So we actually train people with our training center for just, if they want to know more about the scriptures of the Bible, books of the Bible. But we also have a program 3 years that you can go through and get your ministry license through us. And so I think of many that have come, a young lady who is now, she came through the training center. She is now our administrator. She takes care of the training center. She teaches. So, and another one has come through. He's now my associate pastor, of many years now that came through the training center. And I can think of several others that I'm currently working with right now that I can mentor them into the men that God's called them to be. So to me, that's the most exciting reward to see them go on in ministry, and I have a part of that. It's awesome. So I think to me, it's not just one thing, but it's the equipping of the saints. I feel we talked earlier about this. As far as pastors, the scriptures talk about that you have shepherds, and then Jesus talked about hirelings. So the shepherd sticks with the flock, no matter what adversity comes. A hireling, he's out of there. So the calling is for the shepherd, and my particular calling is to equip the saints, and I love doing that. Hopefully that was not too long of an answer.
No, that's a good answer. Let me ask a follow-up. Was there anybody that you had when you were younger that was a mentor? Somebody that maybe we would recognize or maybe not. Maybe.
Yeah, actually, I refer to him as my pastor. His name was Hal Adams, and he was in Southern California. And he mentored me, and I love the way he did it because I guess I've continued on with that. Is he just he shot straight with me, and gave me not all the fluff about ministry. And told me exactly what I would be facing in ministry. And, that's one of the things that I appreciated so much. He's now gone, went home to be with the Lord many years ago, but he challenged me to go on about and continue to do what God has placed upon my heart and to be persistent at it. And so, I thank him for what he has done in the past for me, and that's what I want to do for others in the future.
Right. So you may have already shared this, but what advice would you have for new leaders in church just getting started?
I would say be careful about the outside influences because they can actually lead you astray into like what I talked about earlier. Well, Pastor, what you should do is this, and what you should do is that. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that I would say. Listen, be steadfast and love those people. They have good intentions, but you got to hear from God, and you've got to hear what he is saying and what he wants you to bring or what he wants you to teach, not what others are saying you should do or you should preach or teach.
Changing gears here a little bit. I'm just about running out of time here, but I wanted to get your take on technology and ministry. And I mean, I know you're no stranger to it.
No.
But what are your thoughts, on the whole use of technology? And AI is involved now more and more. What's your thoughts on AI? And just the general ideas on technology and using it for ministry.
Okay, yeah, well, as Phil knows, but I told you about I was in prison ministry for 6 years. That was in Oregon, and I also worked for a radio station, AM station, Christian station up there in Eugene, Oregon. So that was my first introduction to technology, and I have used it ever since. And even with Living Water Church, this was even before streaming became something of a thing. And I put together on a shoestring budget cameras and so forth and made the system work for us. And so I believe in it. And I think that it's a wonderful tool for ministry. And of course, we use streaming TV right now, streaming church TV as our platform. So I am for it. And I'd like to see that just increase as much as we can. As far as the AI platform, I gotta be honest with you, and when I first heard about that, it's a bit scary on what it can do. And so I've got kind of a little bit of a new insight now in looking at some of Streaming Church's platform on that. And I did a test on that where it actually translated the whole sermon that I'd done. So that was pretty impressive. And so I do think that there's some usage for that out there. I think we just need to be careful and cautious on how we use that technology.
Yeah. Steve has a good analogy about using AI as a seminary intern. Steve, why don't you share that? Because it's a good analogy.
Yeah, it's I think you don't want to say, oh, we're gonna have AI present the sermon this Sunday.
Right.
You want to, it could probably put one together for you, but you definitely wouldn't trust it for that. So actually I'm borrowing this from other people, but they say you treat it like a seminary intern or a new intern at the church, someone brand new that doesn't know, doesn't have the wisdom that you have, is going to make mistakes, doesn't know your environment that well, but he can get stuff done. So with a little guidance. So yeah, I mean, I'm all for, I think, using technology and to further the ministry is a smart thing to do. I mean, right now we're talking over the internet with cameras and stuff that didn't
Oh,
exist
yeah.
years ago, and we're reaching people that we never would have reached.
It is quite amazing. Of course, I just throw this in as far as all the online streaming and so forth. I still want people to come to church and to fellowship together. So we always say, if you can't make it, you're sick or whatever, join us online. But I don't think there's a substitute for that one-on-one
I
meeting up.
completely agree. I think it's a great gateway for people to check out the church. It's I don't have to walk through the door and get into an uncomfortable environment, which a lot of people have done, and I can just check it out online and go, that looks like a good fit. Pastor Jerry looks like my kind of guy. I'm gonna go walk through the door and be a part of this.
I agree.
Jason Moore, a friend of ours, has written a book. He's written several books, but one of them is about hybrid ministry, and that is, serving the people in your church, but also remembering people online and including them and making them part of the service as well. What's the name of it, Steve? It's I
Both
can't
hand.
remember. Both And is the book
Oop.
by Jason Moore. We're pushing his book here. We need to get some royalties for that. But yeah, but his whole point is you can do
He
both.
he's actually releasing a new book
Yes.
on and using AI in the church. So,
Oh,
he is.
wow. Yeah. I think you got a real good point there because, when I first started with the whole streaming, it was hard to remember that there were folks that were watching out there. And so you have to, it's a different mindset to try to work both of those things.
Including them. Okay.
Exactly.
So we're out of time, but this has been good. Coffee with a Pastor. Jerry Fiskus has been our pastor today that we've interviewed. He's from Bridgeport, West Virginia, and the church is Living Water Church. What's the website, Jerry?
All right, it's livingwaterchurchwv.com. So Living Water Church, all lowercase, all one word, and then just stick a WV on the end of
West
it.
Virginia stands for West Virginia. So if people want to reach out to you, they can do so. They probably just go to the website, right? And
Yeah, you can go to the website, and our email address is on there that you can get in touch with us. And or phone number to the church. So feel free to call.
All
We'll
right.
be able to help in any way we can.
All right. Well, that's good. Well, we sure appreciate you very much. Thank you for putting up with us today and taking the time, Pastor. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome. Glad you guys invited me, and anything I can do, let me know.
All right. Well, good deal. And folks, thank you for spending some time on the Church Solutions podcast today. Be sure and subscribe to us, like us, give us a rating if you would. And if we can help you in any way, you can always just go to streamingchurch.tv. That's one of our companies here. It sounds like we're a $1 billion enterprise, but we're not. We just have several different products. And one of them is streamingchurch.tv. The other one is dailydive365.com. Check that out and check out our webinars. All right, I'm Phil Thompson on behalf of Steve Lacy. Please take care of yourselves and each other, and we'll catch you again next time on another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast. Thank you.